instrumental. A joyful noise to our Lord. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to see you all this another Sunday morning that the Lord has made. I'm glad about it, and I hope you are. I stand under his umbrella of blessings, and God is good. God is good. God is good. He allowed me this privilege and this opportunity to stand in his house. And the first thing coming out of my mouth is, thank you, Lord. But I've got a task to do, and that is to facilitate our communion and just ask if you would just meditate on the one whom we worship, on the one whom is worthy. My studies and reading this week here brought me to the book of some of my favorite readings coming from the book of Psalms. And the book encompasses everything that we will deal with in this life, because that's the roadmap for sickness, for sorrows, for distresses, for pain. There's a word from the Lord. My reading this morning is coming from Psalms, the fifth chapter, the first verse, and it reads, listen to my words, O Lord, give heed to my sighing and groaning. Hear the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. In the morning, you hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning, I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, neither will the evil man so much as dwell temporarily with you. Boasters can have no standing in your sight. You abhor evildoers. You will destroy those who speak lies, the labor of doers and rejects, the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will enter your house through the abundance of your steadfast love and mercy. I will worship toward and at your holy temple in reverent fear and awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way level, straight and right before my face. For there is nothing trustworthy or steadfast or truthful in their talk. Their heart is destruction, a yawning gulf. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter and make smooth with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own designs and counsels. Cast them out because of the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice and ever shout for joy because thou defendest him. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That ends the reading. May God continue to bless the hearers and readers of his holy word. And then we go on to another commandment of the Lord that on the night that our Savior was betrayed before going to Calvary, he sat with his disciples, and when he had taken bread, broke it, let's just say, this is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat together. And in a like manner, when he had taken the cup and blessed the cup, saying, "This is the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you do this, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again." Let us drink together. But every moment that you live and breathe and have your being should be prayer time. Should be a time of praise, a time of gratitude, that you can call on your Creator, your Redeemer, and your Savior. But right now, we have another opportunity to come together in worship solitude. We invite you to come up front to the altar if you so care, choose to, as we petition the throne of grace. And if not with petitions, just with praise. The Bible says that those that worship Him should do it in spirit and in truth. Right now, as we stand in His presence, join me in just, first of all, saying thank you, Lord, for creating me. And you can say this for yourself, creating you. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that you saw fit, according to the counsel of your divine will and purpose, to quicken us before the foundation of the world and set us on a destined path. But while we're here right now, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would mold us, shape us, renew in us, make us whole, make us over. And Lord, when we falter and stumble along the way, we thank you, Heavenly Master, that you pick us up and draw us ever closer to you. You hold not our sins and transgressions against us. We thank you, Lord. Lord, there are many who stand in your presence right now that may be having issues of concern, stresses in their lives right now. But right now, Lord, all we're doing right now is just focusing on you. We see that your grace is sufficient. You have enabled us to come out, dear Lord, with a heart of gratitude. In the midst of sorrows, sicknesses, and pain. We thank you, Lord, that you are still holding us close to you. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that you have chosen us to teach us how to be more like you and to allow our lives to give you glory. And Lord, all that we are, we did not make ourselves. It was you that made us. And Lord, since we are unworthy, that in itself gives you glory. Lord, I thank you for enabling us to have a place that we can come out and worship. We thank you for this sanctuary, the under shepherd that you have placed among us, the anointing, dear Lord, that you have on his life. And we, the sheep of your pastor, dear Lord, we humble ourselves towards you and give you thanks. Thank you, dear Lord, for blessing each household. Hear the cries of your people, Lord. And Lord, we worship you. We praise you. But because you hear our humble cry, we thank you for these and all blessings that you attend to. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
by, so I can be free, so I can be whole, like to everyone.
So the choir just gave you a word today that the Lord Thank you. What? This? Come on, let me hear y'all sing that out there. Come on, the sun. If you hold out, oh, wait on the Lord. He won't fail you. He'll never fail you. If you wait on him, wait on him. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Come on, y'all sing it with us if y'all know it. Everybody sing the song. Yes, it is. The song. Yes, it is. Yes, it will. 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 The sun is gonna shine. If you do what? If I hold out. Give God some praise, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for all that you've done, all that you are, and we surrender to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you don't mind, look at somebody next to you. You don't know what they need today. Just look at them and tell them the sun is going to shine. The sun is going to shine. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir, band. And you know what? I keep forgetting to do this, and I'm not going to forget today. I think that we have one of the most gifted, powerful, anointed worship facilitators God ever created. And Deacon Frank Grant Jr., amen. See him just growing in this position. Amen. All right, everybody, we're going to go to Genesis 3, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 11. We've been talking about repentance. Hey, Bruh Staples. If y'all want a special anointing, y'all be sure to shake his hand before y'all get out of here. Genesis 3 and Hebrews 11. We're going to set up a conversation that we want to continue to have, if it's the Lord's willing, we live next week, coming from Romans. But I want to highlight this first. Genesis 3 and verse, and I'm going to start at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said, 'You shall not eat from every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Stop. She told, and remember, this is an Akash, it's not a snake, it's a divine being. She told the divine being what God had said. Don't miss that. And she said, "God has said." Are y'all reading this? She knew the instructions. She knew who gave the instructions. Are y'all with me? All right. And the woman said to the serpent, I read that, verse number 4. But the serpent, or as we've learned in the Akash, said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Stop.
So in the previous verse, you know God said you would. Because you told me. He said you would. Now, either we get into a place of unbelief, or I don't care. Are y'all paying attention? Okay. Now don't get it twisted. I'm not vilifying the woman here. Mm-mm. Brother man was sitting right there. Brother man was sitting right there listening to the whole conversation. And brother man didn't say a word. She sinned by transgression. He sinned by neglect. Okay, let's keep going. Verse number 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will Are y'all reading this? You will be what? Comma. Comma. And then knowing the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity. But before the comma were two words. See, if I'm like God, I ain't got to obey God. All right, y'all. Verse 6, and when the woman, okay. Now, both of y'all, number one, both of y'all at the tree. And the Lord told you don't come near the tree. All right, let's start from jump giddy up. All right. First of all, you at the tree and the Lord told you don't even come near the tree. So what you are looking at is an obstinate heart that is willingly defying the will and the commandment of God. This wasn't no accident. Y'all here with me? This wasn't no accident. Now keep reading. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable, pleasant, for what? Food. That it was delightful to what? And the tree desired in order to make one what? Wise. What are you looking at? 1 John 2, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some also to brother man. All right. Now the thing about it, now y'all got to, you know, I can't give him a break, but you got to think about it. This brother saw the hippopotamus had a woman. The giraffe had a woman. Even the whale had a woman whale. You know what I'm saying? When the Lord brought her to him, that brother would have done anything she asked. You hear what I'm saying? Anything she asked him to do. You hear what I'm saying? And so the thing is to understand and look at the fact. Because remember, the Bible said God saw that there was no help meet for the man. Now, that wasn't just because God saw it. That lets you know what Adam was talking about. Well, I ain't got nobody. Even the dog got a dog with it. Well, I ain't got nobody. Okay, look at verse number 6, 7. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. All of the glory that covered them left. What gave them eternal life left. And through the centuries, we are seeing its effects. When they first were there, they had an everlasting existence. But once that left, people started living for 6,000 years, then for 5,000 years, then for 4,000 years, then for 3,000 years, then for 1,000, then for 900, then 800, then 700, then 400, 100, 90, 70. All because they got undressed. Because they wanted something that let them know they were not satisfied with what God had given them. Why do you think the Bible says contentment with great gain is a blessing? Contentment. Contentment. If you have something that you think you should complain about, what if you were living in North Carolina? You got something you upset about? You still got a house to go back to. You begging for more when God has already given you what others wish they had. Are y'all here? Come on, keep reading. So the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron-like girdles. And they heard the sound of the... So the Lord had already showed them how to make something. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now think about this. We are talking about a skill beyond what we see even with seamstresses today. How can you take leaves and make clothes? Are y'all here with me? How can you take leaves? Now you can take some grass skirts or something like that. Wasn't none of that. Leaves. Y'all remember the Jolly Green Giant commercials? Y'all remember how the Jolly Green Giant thing was made of leaves? You see what I'm saying? All that kind of stuff. Think about this. Now, why am I telling this? I want you to understand, it was not that they were ignorant. It was not that they were backwards. Adam and his wife, both of them were Adam. Remember in Genesis 5, it says God named them both Adam. When we did that, notice this. They were, I would wager, I won't wager, that ain't good. I would say
next to Jesus, the smartest people this planet has ever seen. Why? Some of us can't remember what we wore last week. We get stuff to wear on Sundays and we think, now did I wear this last Sunday? You are looking at a man who was able to name, remember, and pass down every species of animal on this planet. He was already wise, but he wasn't content with the gift of being wise. He wanted to be like God. To name every species of animal on this planet. Remember, the Bible told us in Genesis, God brought them to him and he named them. See, if that was me, he bring them by. I say, that's a big one. That's a little one. But every species on the planet. Now, let me show you. If that were the case, that means that God brought all of the species in the water up for him to name. Who you know got that kind of intelligence? Look at what they had. Deacon Gilliam, look at what they had. Question. What you got and you still want more? Are you telling God I ain't satisfied with this? I want a new suit. You got an old one. And we send in the church. We participate in sending clothes to Haiti and other places like that. Right now, we taking a lot of our offerings, and y'all give as much as you can because we taking a lot of our offerings and we sending them to the Red Cross for the people in North Carolina. You got it to give. Who wished they had it to give? All right, y'all, let's keep reading. Verse number 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves from the what? Presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You can't hide from something you can't see. That lets you know that was not God the Father. That was God the Son. Why? What did Colossians say? He is the visible representation of the invisible. What did Jesus say? No man has ever seen God. That's why Jesus said, I'm Alpha. Y'all, I wish somebody praying, man. I'm Alpha. You forgot. You were reading about me in Genesis. Now look what it says here. I heard the sound. And look at verse number 9. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where you at? Verse 10, he said, I heard you walking in the garden, and I was a... Okay, first of all, and I'm almost through, but first of all, if I'm hiding, why I'm going to talk to you? If I'm hiding and you calling, that means you keep on calling. That's just like saying, here I am. You know, it's like when you call somebody's house and their child answer the phone. And you say, can I speak to your mama? Say, hold on. And then you hear in the background, tell them I ain't here. You see what I'm saying? Panic ensued. Come on, y'all. And verse, he said, I was naked and I hid myself. In verse 11, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit, not just ate. She gave. Verse number 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, now what is this you have done? And the woman said, it wasn't me. It was the Nakash, or the serpent. He beguiled me. He cheated me. He outwitted me. He deceived me. And lie. He didn't deceive you. You knew exactly what you were doing. That's what happens when Satan knows, or the demons know, what your lusts are. They will present it to you so that you can sabotage yourself. Y'all hear me? They don't make you do nothing. But they know you ain't got no control over yourself. So all I got to do is put it out there. You're going to destroy yourself. Verse number 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you did? She said, the serpent beguiled, cheated, outwitted me, and deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the Nakash, because you have done this, you are cursed above all domestic animals and above every wild living thing of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust and what it contains all the days of your life. Now those of you in Bible study know that we broke all of this down to see what it means in Hebrew. And it wasn't talking about a snake, because snakes don't eat dust. That's a saying, because God demoted that divine being from being up there on his mount to now being the Lord of the dead. That's what the term eat dust means. Okay? Keep going. Verse number 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and what? Her offspring. Remember Tuesday night? We're starting to look at the devil's offspring in the Bible, okay? Which is what I tell you, everybody ain't God's child. And Jesus made that clear. All right, Matthew 13, John 8, if you want to go back and read it. And look what he said to the woman in 16. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your grief and your suffering in pregnancy. I was waiting for some woman to grunt, okay? And the pangs of childbearing with spasms of distress. You will bring forth. Do I have a witness in here anywhere? You will bring forth children. Yet your desire and craving will be for your husband, and he will what? That ain't how I started out. It started out that they were equals. But why would God do this to her? Who initiated the whole thing? Keep reading, verse number 18. Thorns. So enthused. I don't know what they're saying up there, but I'm going to keep on reading. And look at verse number 17. And y'all here with me?
Yes.
That's why the Bible says, once you are in Jesus Christ, the curse is lifted and there is no more male and female. Because because they're supposed to be equal. That's why when you are married, it said the two become what? One. That's why God did not punish them until Adam, the male, ate. The woman ate, but it wasn't complete because now the two of them were. God didn't show up until after he ate. Verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Verse 20, the man called his wife's name what? Eve, life spring. Who named her Eve? The man, not God. All right, because she was the what? Mother of all the living. We'll unpack that later. For Adam also and for his wife, the Lord God made long coats, tunics of skins, and clothed them. We're going to get into that a little bit later. And the Lord God said, behold, a man has become like one of us, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to know how to distinguish between good and evil, blessing and calamity. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep and guard the way to the tree of life. Go to Hebrews 11. Beginning at verse number 3. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse number 3. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and in right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts. And though he died, yet through the incident, he is still speaking. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he... And you keep on reading. Verse number 7. Prompted by faith, Noah. And then 8. Urged on by faith, Abraham. Look who ain't listed. Look at who ain't in the list. Why, perhaps, my last point, we read about the Adams, we read about Cain, we read about one thing that Adam and Cain had in common, and Eve. Can I say now one? Okay. That's all right, Bro Cunningham, if I say now one. All right. Now one. Ask God for forgiveness. Result, you ain't in the list. Has the point been made? God never gave them a heart to repent. When we continue talking, Sister Alexander and Deacon Crosby, when we continue talking, we're going to show how this affected us and why we struggle today. But it started with the first two humans who wanted to be like God and felt like they did not have to ask God for forgiveness. Because they didn't think they did nothing wrong. We're going to show scriptures about that. In addition to that, let me say this, Sister Beverly. When you leave here today, are you as satisfied with your life as you should be? As you should be. We all have tribulations. Everybody's going to have that. We all have faults. We all have that. But have you ever wondered how many people wish they were in your shoes? We've had floods, but they didn't wipe our houses away. You still got electricity. You still got water. You still got food. You still got a roof over your head. So think about what it is you feel you are disgruntled with. Is it worth telling God, thank you, but no thank you? Because I need you to do more. So think about that. And think about the fact that God didn't kill you before he got a chance to tell you this. All right, let's bow our heads. God, we thank you because we keep reading what you could have given us, but you didn't. Thank you for giving us a heart to know that we need your forgiveness. Thank you for giving us a heart to turn from ways that are not pleasing to you. And thank you for giving us a heart that the Holy Spirit will help mold so that we can say, like Paul, in whatever state I am in, I've learned to be content. There might be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, you say, Lord, now fill me with your Spirit. Make me grateful, first of all, that you chose me. Second of all, that you saved me. Third of all, that you're walking with me. And lastly, that you got a home waiting for me when I get there. Help me to praise you for the things in my eternity and not the little things in my temporary. If there's somebody who wants to join this congregation, in front of you in the slots, there are cards. Feel free to take one of the cards, fill it out front and back. And after you fill it out, please, as you leave the sanctuary, there's a box that looks like a cross. It's a wooden box. Then put that in there, the card in there, and there will be members of our membership intake team that will get in touch with you. And it will be a pleasure for us to love you with the love of the Lord as we all walk on this road together. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in the name of Jesus in Greek, Yeshua in the Hebrew, that we pray. Let everybody give God a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And tell him, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Put your hands together, give God some praise. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.